Good morning. God is good, amen? And all the time, God is good, and all the time, God is good. I said it myself. I might have to, no, I already started. I somewhat kind of sang a little bit, but tried to hold off from singing like the Torrin Wells voice, Torrin Wells notes, or the Phil Wickham voice. I've been dealing with a little bit of bronchitis. You know, it's interesting it's bad news when you're sleeping and you're like taking a deep breath, and then after you breathe, you hear like a little sound from your chest. So it's bronchitis. I diagnosed myself, and I didn't. If you work in healthcare, you're the worst. You know, it's like you should go to the doctor. He was like, "Yeah, I know," but my wife's been telling me all week, "You need to go." And I had an appointment with Dr. Gill last week, and then I canceled it because I'm fine. And then look, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. So, but God is good. Amen? Despite my situation and circumstance, God is always good. Hope you guys had a blessed Thanksgiving with your family. Ours was very busy. We had a lot of, and it's a blessing, you know, still. It's like we're tired, but it's a good kind of tired, right? Because you've been spending so much time with your family. It was good to be home finally, though, too. It's like, you know, but I had a great time with my family. And then we drove to San Jose, spent some time with Stephanie's family, a couple days there. And it was Christian's birthday this week, too, so there was a lot of activity going on. And, man, we're just really, really blessed. So like I was telling you guys up on the stage, you know, the thing God has been reminding me of is just to really be thankful, to be present in the moment that God has given us. You know, I say it all the time, is like, you know, this is a gift that God has given us, our life, the people that we have. Number one, to know Him, right, is the greatest gift. But secondly, the people that we have to do life with is just really a blessing. Even the ones that sometimes, you know, rub you the wrong way, still a blessing. Right? Because God has you there to hopefully minister and pray, and maybe is doing something, right, through you in your life. Because oftentimes we run into some things. This is why I'm saying this, because inevitably when there's family gatherings, it's like there's sometimes a little bit of conflict and things going to happen or this. But you know what? Man, forget all that. Every day that we have is a gift. And so that's where God has been leading me this past week and a half. So just so thankful. Today's message is titled Contentment in God. Contentment in God. And, you know, during the week I was kind of just going through. And I mean, how many of you guys, I don't know about you, but we do Thanksgiving. We do two celebrations. Well, my family, I eat until like I'm just so stuffed because the food is so good, right? And then we drive up to spend some time with Stephanie's family, and then we eat again. And then even though you're stuffed, right? How many of this happened to you guys this year, where you were like, "I'm done. The food is already up to right here," and then somebody brings out another like dessert. They're like, "Where was that hiding at? I didn't see that before." And you're so stuffed, but you're like, "I still need to." You even go to the corner and you go like this, try to push it down. Do you see the visual effect? My body, you know, I'm loving all of it. Okay, so I'm dealing with this is a season of fluffiness for me. And so you do try, right? And then you're like, you're so stuffed, but you're like, I have to try this. Whatever it is, piece of cake or whatever. Stephanie's family brought over an ubi flan, which I've never had before. A regular flan, the brown one, which is really good on its own. But I was like, ooh, ubi flavor? I got to try it, right? But at some point, you have to say, like, enough is enough. I'm satisfied. I'm full. I'm content, right? Yeah? Well, I know I'm making jokes out of it, and that day I did get my contentment in food. But really what we're talking about is that we have to find our contentment as believers in God. That's really where our true peace and our true joy comes from, is we have to find our contentment in God. Because oftentimes the culture that we live in tells you what? You need more money, you need more material possessions, you need a newer car, you need a bigger house, you need, need. Does that sound familiar? But today we're going to be learning from 1 Timothy that in God we have all that we need, and how we find our contentment in who God is, in the person of God, through Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6. By the way, that soup smells really good. I didn't get my contentment of soup this morning. Okay, so somebody save me a bowl if there's any left. It's gone. Thank you, sister. I'm going to have to bring it. There's none? There's donuts. It's okay, I'll have a donut. But the soup is really delicious, apparently. And I smell it, too. It's okay. Jesus is teaching me a lesson today. He says, today you're going to practice what you preach. You're having no soup for you, but all kinds of Jesus. Amen? So my contentment is in God. There's an object lesson right there. But 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to start reading in verse 2b. Not quite 3, but in mine it says, the heading says, false teachers and the love of money. Does yours have a little heading like that? Yeah, so that's 2b. It says, these are the things you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to this sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malice talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of the corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. For those who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Amen. Amen. So the context of this passage, right? The author of this book, you guys know, is Paul. Right, he's writing this book. Paul was the inventor of the prison ministry. I don't know if you guys know that, because he was in prison when he wrote this the first time, not the second time. He was actually captured twice, if you guys remember that, and then he was let go. He writes this in between 62 and 64 AD. He's in jail, and he's writing a letter to Timothy. If you guys remember, Timothy is the pastor now at a church in Ephesus. You guys remember that? Of course you guys do, because you're the smartest church in all of Sanger. You're also the best-looking church in all of Sanger. Amen? So Timothy is the pastor at Ephesus, and he is writing a letter of encouragement. And as we get to this part, he really starts to hone in on what? How do you find true contentment? Because people oftentimes start to use, if you can notice it, there's a passage of the Scripture that they're starting to use the word of God and religion for what? For the financial gain. I mean, if you turn on the news, right, turn on the TV sometimes and you'll see them. It's like your televangelists that are proclaiming that God wants them to have $1 million airplane because, and it's some of it, when you watch it, it's almost, honestly, it's disgusting. You know, it's like God wants me to have a private jet because it's going to make my ministry more effective. I can't travel with everybody. They're going to get me sick. One of the guys actually was saying that. It's terrible. I have to turn it off. But people were manipulating, using the religion for their own financial gain, right? And so Paul is writing a letter of encouragement to him because ultimately he was trying to protect the church from false teachers, from greed, from a lot of different things that sometimes if we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, the mission of the church starts to lose its way, right? That was happening then, and if we're honest, it's happening now. right? So we have to be very mindful of what Paul is teaching. But the first thing that we pick up from today, that passage that we read, is that number one, contentment begins with a pure heart and a right understanding of God's word. Contentment begins with a pure heart and a right understanding of God's word, right? Because if you look at, for example, verse number 3, it says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing, right? So what he's saying is like, listen, if you want to be content in your life, number one, you have to come before Jesus with a pure heart. If you have bad intentions in your heart, right? If you're always looking out for number one, meaning you, and what's in your interest and what's in your gain, do you have your heart and your eyes set upon Jesus Christ? No, right? You love me, and I'm always on my mind. That's our first obstacle that we have to overcome is our selfish nature, our pride. And so we have to have a pure heart. And we have to have a what? A right understanding of God's word. Because if we don't, it's even saying, he's like, listen, then you're conceited and you don't understand anything. You understand nothing, in fact, is what it says. And so you have to have a solid understanding of, number one, humble yourself before God, but understanding of God's word, the doctrines of what they mean, right? So, for example, in my 20s, I don't know if you guys know, I might have shared this with you guys. I think I have, right? I wasn't walking with the Lord at all. When about 17 or 18, I wasn't going to church. I have a degree in biology, so I got heavy into all the evolution theory and all that kind of stuff. And so I stopped going to church for a long time, right? And I started just reading all kinds of different things because I'm like, this can't be true. But my heart still told me that something wasn't adding up. So I was reading all kinds of different things. And I think I told you guys this. I was set out to read the top, 50 books. And the number one on that list is what? The Bible, right? So I was like, I don't believe it, but I'm going to read it. And so I started reading it. But my heart, right? Number one, it says you have to have a pure heart. Well, my intentions were not to find God. My intentions, in fact, were just to read it so I could disprove. Does that make sense? So I could form arguments in my mind that would justify my beliefs. And so clearly my heart was not pure. And so I was reading through it. And then I had a misunderstanding of God's word. I thought it was like, I was taking some of it as, how could I understand God's word, number one, when my heart was not open to it? I was reading it with bad intentions. And I didn't have the Holy Spirit, right, working in me. Now, I don't know if you know this. When you read the Bible, the author is actually speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. So hardened heart, bad intentions, reading the Bible, was I going to get anything out of it? Honestly, no. I didn't. And so that was one thing that I had to come to terms with, right? I had to wrap my, because I'm a thinker, right? I need to have logically, and things need to make sense to me. And so I was having a hard time. I was wrestling with creation. I was wrestling with Noah. I was wrestling with a lot of different things that I see in there because I didn't have a pure heart. I certainly didn't have a right understanding of God's word. But still, yeah, I've shared this with you guys. Did I have contentment? Did I have peace? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I was empty on the inside. And so that's what Timothy is telling us today, is that, listen, if you want to have contentment, first things first, you got to get your heart right, and you got to have a solid understanding of the word. Now, how does that happen? Right? We have to humble ourselves. We have to ask God in. We have to repent. Right? Ultimately, that's what it comes down to, is repenting and turning away from our sins and asking Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. And then we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the word comes to life. Because after I got saved, let me tell you, when I started reading this book again, I was like, whoa. It started to transform my life. It started to convict me a lot, right? I started to get encouragement from it. But prior to that, my old life, my 20s, there's no way I would have received that type of contentment, that type of fulfillment in God's word. So, How many of you guys have had a, you know, maybe let's just call it what it is, right? Your first car, an older car, was a little bit of like, it was a hand-me-down car, a little bit of a beater, right? I used to have a 1991 Geo Prism. That was my first car. Man, I love that car because it represented freedom to me. It was a bucket. Like, it was not the best thing. The headliner was falling. I'd be driving and the headliner's over here. You know. So I put pins in it. I glued it. My wife knows. She's like, but I love that car. It also had a tendency to do something, right? If I let go of the steering wheel, that bad boy wanted to go straight right. You have a car like that? The misalignment like crazy. You better hold on tight, huh? You let go, it's all like there was a Taco Bell over here. You know, it just wanted to go by itself. And so I did get it fixed finally. I was like, I think something's wrong with the car. Like, it always wants to go this way, you know? So two hands, right? 10 and 12. No, I always drive like this. But your life is that way, right? If you don't have your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, if you're not finding your contentment in Him, right? You have a misunderstanding who He is. Your life is always going to be veering in a different direction than where God wants to take you. Does that make sense? And so we have to make sure that we are trusting God, that we have a pure heart, that we have a thorough understanding, because if we don't have a solid understanding of who God is, your life is always going to be taking a right turn. I don't know what else to say about that one. I did love that Geo, though. It wasn't the egg one, though. It was more like the Toyota Corolla one. It was a square one, okay? I was kind of cool. I did almost put the spinner hubcap on it. But my wife's like, no, I will not get in that car if you put the spinner hubcap. So I didn't do that. So that's a true story. I thought about it. I even went to Walmart and I was like, check out these hubcaps. She's like, no, it's not cool. So we didn't do it. Anyway, let's get back in the car. And with a good alignment, that's right. Because we need to keep our eyes focused on who Jesus is. Have the right understanding and the right beliefs about God. Guess what? Our life is going to go in the right direction. Does that make sense? And it comes by knowing who God is first. Let's keep reading. Actually, we already did read it. But it's in verse 6 through 10. Let's read that again. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Those who want to get rich will fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that will ruin destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Right. So the second point in today's message is that contentment is a great gain. That's what Paul's talking about. Contentment is a great gain because really we take nothing with us. You take nothing with us. Not your fancy car, not your shoe collection, not the clothes, nothing, right? What goes to heaven? Right? Souls. What goes to hell? Souls too, right? And so ultimately, we find contentment in knowing that, listen, everything that sometimes we strive so hard for, we work so hard for all these things, at the end of the day, I know this is going to hurt a little bit, but it's not the most important thing. It really isn't. We have to find contentment. He says, listen, if you have food and clothes on your back, you should be content. Now, most of us in here are fluffy like me. And all of us have clothes on our back. And we have Jesus Christ, right? You should be content, yeah? That's what Paul is writing to Timothy. And he's saying, listen, godliness with content is great gain. Godliness with content is great gain. Because, listen, the love of money, you guys know, he says is the root of all evil? It says all kinds of evil. Because you know that people have done some very shady and harmful things for the love of money, yeah? Some of you guys that grew up in the 90s, I know, as soon as I say that, you're thinking about the Bone Thugs and Harmony song. you can't help it. You grew up in the hood like I did, you know, Orange Cove. You're like, man, I was bumping that song. For the love of money. I can't help it. I cannot help it. I read that verse and I was typing. This is a true story. I was working on the sermon and I was like, man, I got to listen to that song again. So I went over there on YouTube, listened. I was like, get out of here. Get back into the word. That is a true story. Yeah. I don't know. Listen, I didn't come up here to be somebody that I'm not. Like, God made me this way, yeah? So, that is a true story. Now, some of you guys, I'm not trying to put the Irene on the spot, but when she says, for the love of money, she starts thinking about another song. A song from a little earlier in the days, made popular by the OJs, right? And some of you guys know it. The intro song, you don't probably know the song, but you know the intro. It goes, da-na, da-na, da-na. Da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na. It goes, money, 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 money. Right? So you guys know that song too. Yeah. They must have been reading this chapter before they wrote that song. They must have been reading 1 Timothy, the OJs were. Because let me read you guys a couple of lyrics. It says, money, 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 right? But it says, for the love of money, people will steal from their mother. For the love of money, people will rob their own brother. For the love of money, people can't even walk down the street because they never know who in the world they're going to beat for the love of that money, right? It says, for the love of money, right? A woman will sell her precious body. That know that the love of money is the root of all evil. People do some funny things, right? For a nickel and a brother and who can give me a nickel? A brother, can you spare a dime? Because money can drive some people out of their minds for the love of money, right? Money is the root of all evil. Funny, some people do funny things, right? It does funny things to people. And it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Don't let money rule over you, right? The OJs were onto something there, right? They were onto something. That's why I said they had just finished reading 2 Timothy 2. And true story, when I started writing this one, I was like, let me go listen to that song. So I did listen to it. I looked up the lyrics. I said, oh, that one does align a little more with 1 Timothy 6. Because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. People have done some awful things in the name of, for greed, for a dollar. And at the end of the day, what Timothy is saying is that, listen, we can take any of that with us. In fact, nobody, right, at a funeral talks about bank accounts or, you know, how big their house was or they had the nicest car. They always talk about what? The person, the character, who they were really. Now, some people will, like, exaggerate a little bit about that person. I was like, are you talking about the same person? Because I knew that person. They're terrible. No. Everybody says nice things at funerals, yes? Right? We're like, are we talking about the same one? He's a scoundrel. That's other people. Okay, when we die, we want people to say good things about us, right? How we loved Jesus, how we loved each other, how we were his hands and his feet, amen? We don't get to take any of this with us, any of it. So what do we have to do, right? How do you build that contentment? Well, listen, every day that you have is a gift. I've been saying that. You're going to get tired of me saying that. Every day that you have is a gift. Life is a gift. Your salvation is a gift. You should write down and think about it. The minute you start complaining about anything, immediately rebuke that thought with 5 things that you are thankful for. Listen, you're not going to have everything. In this life, you'll have troubles. But guess what? You have Jesus. You have salvation. You have health. You have life. You have food. You have people that you have people to love. You have people that love you. What are you complaining about? Right? And so immediately we have to put that into application is to say, yeah, I don't get to take any of that with me. But man, I'm so blessed because Jesus loves me. Right? This is my new line, true story at work. People complain all the time. How's it going? Oh, so busy. It's crazy. You don't understand. And they move their head like that too and talk to me. It's crazy. It's terrible. Do people do that at your work too? It must be like a disease because it's like, it's terrible. I don't know. My boss is crazy. As soon as you start complaining, it's a gene that enables it. It just wiggles the head. It's terrible. You don't understand. girl, sister, brother, let me tell you. Bring it back. Get back in the car. Bring it back, right? What I'm saying is that we have so much to be thankful for. And this is what I tell people. True story. I go into meetings, how's it going? Oh, I'm so busy, so crazy. I tell people, you know what? I'm good. God loves me. My wife loves me. My kid loves me. And I tell them, I said, I think you guys love me too. Right? That's my new line. And people start laughing. It's like, well, yeah, I don't care about your complaining. You know, I'm blessed, yes? Man, that's my new line at work. Let's stop measuring your life. Here's the big one. What Timothy is saying is like, listen, stop measuring your life by what you own. Stop measuring your life by what you own. But start measuring your life by how much you are loved by God. How much you're loved by the people around you. Right? You could be rich in, you know, we might be poor in some material things, but man, let us be rich in the things that matter. Let me be rich in Jesus Christ, right? Let me be rich in my knowledge of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me be rich in my relationships. Does that make sense? But if we keep measuring ourselves against what we see on TV, it's like, yeah, you're going to be dissatisfied. You're going to be dissatisfied. And then you get some of those little things, and it's like, oh, I got the new car, and it doesn't, now it's just full of Cheetos, and it smells like the kids, and, you know, it's not, you know, and then you're chasing after something else. But how about we measure our life in who God says that we are, that we're loved, right, that we're His prized possession. He gave His Son for us. My new thing that I was telling my brother 2 weeks ago, every morning, this is a true story, I wake up every morning and I have to tell myself, listen, your pastor has to be reminded of how much God loves him. You need to be reminded every single day about how much God loves you. So you know the first thing I do when I wake up? I pray. And I actually meditate in that word. I tell myself, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. And I say it to myself 5 times. Why? Because the moment I step outside the door, the world is going to attack me. The moment I wake up, everything, all the to-do list is going to attack me. In fact, the minute that you wake up, I don't know if you know this, right? Your body immediately starts to do what? Stress out. The minute you wake up, your body, in fact, if you measure the stress hormone in your body, it's called cortisol. It's the highest right after you wake up. Because it's telling you, get up. You got things to do. And yeah, but how do we fight that? With God's word. With being reminded, with prayer, with thanksgiving. I tell myself those things, and then I start thinking about, like, I'm so thankful for you. Number one, Jesus, thankful for you. My wife, my kids, my church. And then I always say, and I have to even go blow this nice blanket on my face. Thank you, Jesus. You love me, right? And I'm saying it's like you have to be content, guys. This is what we're talking about, the contentment. The real gain that we have is to be content in what God has given us. That's our true gain. You don't get to take any of it with you. It's all going to stay behind. And what doesn't, you know, the things that we get very caught up, right, in the material things. We get very distracted by it. We let our joy be robbed by the things that don't get done sometimes. Does that make sense? The to-dos and the tasks. Those things don't have eternal value. We can make a decision to let Jesus Christ be the master of our day, the master of our life. Or we can let all the things, right, the material things that we're chasing after be the master, be the Lord of our lives. Jesus says, you can't serve two masters, right? Because you'll hate one and you'll love one and you despise the other. You guys remember that? Of course you do. You're the smartest church in Sanger. What Timothy says there in verses 11 through 16, let's keep reading because I haven't read it yet. Let's keep reading. Get back in the car. Everybody get back into the Geo Prism. We customized this one. You guys all fit. One time I did fit 8 people in there. It's a true story. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 6. I might have said 1 Timothy 6, 11. It says, but you, man of God, or woman of God, if you're reading that right, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God in his own time. God blessed, God, the blessed and only ruler of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be the honor and the might forever. Amen. Sorry, guys, that was gross, but the phlegm, bronchitis. Number three, I know. I did take some medication today, so contentment, right? Paul is telling us. Number three, contentment requires pursuing God more than anything else. Contentment requires pursuing God more than anything else. Because he says right there in verse 11, he says, but you, man of God, but you, woman of God, flee from these. He didn't say like just casually. What does he say? He said, flee. Right? When you think about flee, what do you think about? Oh, you're running, right? I ran slow, but I was like, man, you got to peel out. Run fast. You know that? It means flee and pursue righteousness. Godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness, right? Contentment requires pursuing God above anything else. And sometimes we might get distracted, but you got to keep pursuing God. Let that be the one thing that your eyes are fixed on. Because if you're chasing all these other things, you'll be very dissatisfied when you achieve them. God has to be the cornerstone. It's God first and then everything else. When we put other things ahead of God, we're going to be dissatisfied. I'm quite honest with you. In fact, to prove it to you guys, I brought a little bubble wand, right? It's like, what's that about? Okay. So I'm going to have Joey's going to be my assistant today. Okay, Joey, come on up. You got this, Joey. Doesn't look sharp. No, this man belongs on the cover of GQ magazine. Very handsome. I love Joey. Right? So this is what we're going to do. Joey, I'll be blowing some bubbles, right? And you have to try to catch them. Don't let them fall, okay? Now I'm going to turn. Let's see if I can do this right, okay? This first bubble I'm going to do right here, let's just say this is like a, this bubble represents what? What is it going to represent? Something material. Money, right? Your bank account, okay? Okay, he's getting it. This is a bank account. Get the other good. Your dream job is, the dream job is flying away. Your car is flying away. Okay, let's do it again. Pretty good, Joey. I should have picked somebody not as agile. Yeah, but here we go. Here it goes again. I better go far away. Look at Joey. Chasing after all the things that we think that the world tells you are important in your life. There, that one, that's the big house over there. Go get it. Don't let the big house fall. And look at that. God, congratulations. Give Joey a round of applause. The reason why I use that is a little bit of an object lesson, right? Listen, we think it's funny. But as adults, if we're honest, we're chasing after bubbles. Your dream job, the new car, the new outfit, the relationship that's going to make you whole, the this and that. Does that make sense? Now, what happened after Joey popped up, I just use that as something that you can see. But the reality is that he actually got all of them. But did he have anything when he was done with it? That's what I'm trying to say. Right? We've been reading the book of Ecclesiastes with the men. He says, after what? He's all chasing after what? The wind. Because when you build your life trying to chase after all these things and you achieve them and you find them, you're finding out, like, I worked so hard for this. I dedicated all this time. I thought that this was going to make me whole. that it was going to make me complete. And that's not saying that these are bad things. But you have to have the right perspectives that if you're chasing after all these things and you don't have God, you're not going to be content. You're not going to have peace. And so we have to give ourselves to God first, amen? Instead of just chasing after all these bubbles. You have God, you have God, you have everything. Right? And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, listen, but you, man of God, he says, flee from all these things and pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, and endurance and gentleness. Pursue God above everything else. Then you're going to find your contentment. But if you're chasing after all these material things, guess what? What you're going to catch is a big bill. And some debt. Amen? Well, I'm being honest. And again, God is a God of order, so he's not against these things. What we have, you know, this is not a sermon about shaming, about possession. Everything that God's word is true, right? It says all good gifts come from God, right? But who is it to glorify yourself, to edify yourself, or to glorify the kingdom? There's people that know, there's people that have, God has trusted with a lot, right? To glorify the kingdom. And some people take that and you know, some people like this, like, oh, you know, it's property over here and I drive this car over here. And the minute that they come into the room, it's like, man, stop talking already. You know people like that? It's like, I don't want to hear about this. Yeah, guy, up there. Like, you would do that to them too if it was like appropriate. Be like, yeah, I don't want to hear it. You know people like that? Nobody in this church is like that. Amen? But pursuing Christ is like chasing what? The eternal. It's something real. It gives life. All these other things that we pursue, guess what? The cars break down. The house starts to fall apart. The clothes get old. I'm tripping out by the kids are big, wearing big old pants like we used to wear back in the 90s, thinking they're all cool. I thought, you're just copying me. That was my style. And then 5 years ago, they were putting the pants all tight. I said, we originated folding the pant tight and then rolling it up. You remember that one? The skinny jeans. Before it was skinny. Anyway, let's keep reading. Verses 17 through 19. And then he continues. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything. Command them to be good, to be rich in good in deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for them as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they will take hold of the life that is truly life. Amen? Now, you're reading that passage of Scripture and you're like, oh, well, that's the commandment to the people who are truly rich. I tell you this all the time. Every person in this room is truly rich. Every person in this room is truly rich. Sometimes we may say, like, I don't have all this and that, but you have a roof over your head, you have a car, you have clothes, you have food. You're in the top 75% of the richest people in the whole world. Amen? I'm just saying, like, we have so much to be thankful for. But then he commands us to say, listen, if you're going to be rich, be rich in doing good deeds, in generosity and goodwill, and build up what? What does Jesus tell us? Where do you lay up your treasures? In heaven. Not all these things that we possess, right? Lay up your treasures in heaven. Because number four, contentment frees us, right? When we're content, number one, in being with God, then it frees us up to really be generous and to be kingdom-minded. To really be generous and kingdom-minded. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about the glory of God. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. And so Paul, he says, listen, that's a commandment to us, because we're, like I said, we're the rich, to be quite honest with you. But it says, don't put your hope in your wealth, in your bank account. Right? Who do you put your hope in? God, Jesus Christ. Your wealth is uncertain, to be quite honest with you, right? That's why Jesus says, don't store up your treasures where thieves can break in, right? And where the moths come in and destroy it. He says, listen, store up your treasures in heaven. And Paul's telling us the same. We have to be building up our generosity and building up the kingdom as a firm foundation to the coming age. Amen. Because guess what? God is generous. Jesus is generous. You can't outgive him. And we're called to be Christ-like. It means that we have to be generous with our time, with our talents, with our abilities. You guys are probably tired of me saying this. But you are blessed beyond measure. He's inviting you to do your part to build up the kingdom. So you can be intentional, right? To bless other people. To give them... Listen, the most important thing that you can give, and I've said this last 3 weeks ago, we talked about loving the church, is yourself. People need you. You need to be present. You need to recognize people. You need to see them. Right? Contentment isn't a feeling. But listen, at the end of the day, when we're listening, let me just start to wrap this up. I'm going to ask Lily to come up for this one. I didn't tell her. I just like to get people's reactions. Like, I didn't tell him either, but, you know, I just, come on up. Be part of the sermon today. This is my daughter, Lily. I love her. I love her. I love her. I love her. She needs to know that. She does know it, right? I tell her all the time. Sometimes she drives me crazy, but I love her still. Make sense? Amen? Every parent in here knows what I'm talking about. Now, I want nothing but good things for Lily in her life. That means that sometimes I have to discipline her. Amen? She doesn't like it. But she knows that I love her. And what? We need to be disciplined by God too, yeah? Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. That's in Hebrews. So I want nothing but good things for Lily's life. So Lily, here's a fiver. Yeah, she's happy. Here's a 10. Right? I want her to have good things. Let's even give her a 20. What do you think? Is that good? All right. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to hold tight to that. Fold it up and put it in a fist in two hands. Two hands, tight. Hold on to it, right? Listen, God gives good things sometimes in life. You might have a good job. You might have other good friendships, good positives. God gives good things. But the reality of it is sometimes we forget. Because we keep our eyes focused on what's in our hands. The good job. My possessions. The things that are consuming you. And they start to consume. And before you know it, you're holding tight to that thing, right? You're working late. You're absent in the home. You're not paying attention to things. You don't go to Bible study anymore. Because you're focused. You got to do all these things. You have all these things that God has given you already, yes? And you're holding tight to them. What's the problem with the situation here? That God is a good God. I'm just her dad. I want to give her more. That makes sense? But she's so focused and fixated. In fact, what I should do is give her a phone. Right? And then she'll really be like, everybody knows what I'm talking about there? Because I want to give her more. Right? Because then her father could come around and say, man, let me give her a 50. Right? Maybe he wants to get another 50. But her time and she's so consumed, her closed fist on what she has, that she's missing out on what? She's missing out on the more blessings, right? Now, this is just a picture. This is nothing, guys. This is trash. It is. It is trash. Let me throw that down. Right? Because now her hands are open. Now her hands are open. And guess what she can do with her open hand? All right? She can do this. And now she has the fullness of the Father and my time and my affection. Because none of these things are going to make you whole. I'm not even going to make you whole. But our Heavenly Father makes us whole. And so when we miss it, sometimes we have our eyes focused on the thing that we have. We think that we can receive it with a closed fist. That we have what we have. We possess it. It's mine. It's my precious. It doesn't belong to you. This doesn't belong to you. In fact, if you look at it, it's property of the government. It's paper. And it distracts us of the greatest privilege that we have, of our time with God and our time with the people that we love. And so now her hand is open, right? And now she has it with her Father. And just the same thing for us. Like, what's robbing you of your time? What are you holding on to that you need to let go and say, man, I want to hold my Heavenly Father's hand. Because He makes me whole. When I'm with Him, I feel loved. When I'm with Him, I know my value. I know my worth. It's not in any of these things. But you got to let go of those things. You got to seek contentment in who God is. Because God loves you. And He's looking for you. It's like the same way, right? I love when that little baby girl, in like 2 years' time, she's going to come and she's going to have her arms open. And you get to pick her up. Isn't that the best thing? Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. And God is the same way. He says, listen, I gave you these blessings, but not to distract you of it. Don't forget where the blessings come from. The true blessings come from God. Right? Let us be content in Him with open hearts and open minds to be used by the Father. Amen? Thank you, baby girl. Love you. Before I distract, they're like, are you going to pick that up? My Taco Bell money. It's trash. God is good, amen. I hope you guys saw the visual, right? It's the visual. Sometimes we get so caught up with the material possession in our hand that we miss the big picture. And today, celebrate communion. Today we get to remember, why do we celebrate what we celebrate, right? What did Jesus come to do almost 2,000 years ago? He came to give His life as a ransom for our salvation. Jesus, the Lamb of God, perfect, without blemish, without sin, gave His life on the cross so our sins could be forgiven, so we might know the Father and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we celebrate today as we get ready for communion. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for your message, Lord, your kindness, Lord. Help us to find our contentment in who you are. Help us to live our lives with an open hand, Lord God, so that we can receive from you and be a blessing to other people, but just to walk in the relationship, Lord God, in the same way that I get to walk hand in hand with my daughter or my spouse or my sons. You invite us, Lord God, to have a relationship with you. And Lord God, you came, Lord God, sinless, perfect, the Son of God, and you died a horrific death on the cross. And you carried our sin and our shame, Lord God, so that we can be forgiven, so we might know you, Lord God. Thank you for your love. And just like you said so many years ago to the people of Israel, Lord God, and you showed them that they would have to sacrifice a lamb without blemish, and pour the blood out and to use a hyssop branch and put the blood over the door frames of their homes so that you would pass over, Lord God. The same way, Lord God, you did the same for us. The blood of our Lord and Savior had to be shed, Lord God, for the forgiveness of our sins so that your justice would pass over us. Because we deserve justice. We deserve your wrath. You are a good, perfect God. You are holy. You could have nothing, Lord God, with us, Lord God. Sinners. We deserve that, Lord God. We deserve justice, but you give us mercy instead. And that's what you were telling us, Lord God. You're reminding in that meal that you commanded so many years ago that we would celebrate communion and what it meant. the greatest gift that you could have given, Lord God, your life, yourself, sacrificed, Lord, on the cross. And right now, Lord God, we're going to read from the passage of Scripture that tells us clearly in 1 Corinthians, because we want to make sure that we come before you, Lord God, and that we are right. Your word tells us that whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And so everyone should examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Father God, we don't want that. We want to be right before you. So Father God, as I'm praying for our church, Lord, corporately, forgive us for our sins, Lord God. And I'm going to ask everybody here as well to pray, Lord, for your own life. Lord, pray for areas where that you know you have fallen short, that you need to repent, that you need to turn away. We don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord God, for our sins. Forgive us when we're too tired, Lord God. Forgive us when we make mistakes. Forgive us for the sins that we commit. Forgive us for our disobedience, the sins that we of omission, Lord God. Draw us back to you. Help us to find our true contentment in who you are. Renew our spirit, Lord God. Thank you again for giving us this morning, this time of worship, Lord God, and a reminder, a powerful reminder, that the people of God need to be about righteousness and good deeds, Lord God. Not because those things save us, Lord. We're saved by faith in you, Lord Jesus, only by faith. Also, Lord God, your word tells us that faith without works is dead. So help us to find our contentment in you. If we've been chasing after false idols, Lord, help us to repent from that, to surrender from those things. Help us to live within margin, Lord God, the things that we have, content, to know you is enough. To be loved by you is enough. To love the people around us is enough. Lord God, you are so good. So continue to minister to our hearts, Lord God, this morning as we get to communion. We get to taste, Lord God. We get to see and remind of your love for us, Lord God, poured out so many years ago on the cross. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Lord Jesus, thank you for the reminder that we get to know you. We get to commune with you. We get to taste, Lord God. We get to see with all of our senses, with all of our being, that you are good and that you are God. Lord, help us to continue, Lord God, to live a life that is content. Lord God, we have you, Lord Jesus. We have everything. And nothing that the world tells us, Lord God, can take that away. Nothing that the world and the attacks of the enemy can take that away. Nothing, Lord God, can separate us from your love. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your kindness, Lord. Help us to continue to remind ourselves that you are enough and that we are loved by you. Help us to stop chasing after vapors, Lord, in the wind. To know you is enough, Lord, to be loved by you is enough. Thank you again for this morning. Continue to bless us as a church, Lord God. Continue to be the hands and the feet that serve the community, Lord God, that build your kingdom up, Lord. Because you're coming back again, or Lord, we're going to see you, Lord God. And just to be able to be a part of that is truly a privilege, Lord God. But no greater privilege than to be known by you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name.